You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. David, a little bit more nervousness. Yesterday was a bumper day on the JSE, plus 2%. But today, a sort of air of caution about the markets, I think.
Well, Lindsay, nobody knows where this is going. And we're getting so many different opinions from Moderna to Pfizer to Jay Powell, you know, to people of influence about the issue. Powell giving warnings, you know, of the potential risks that this could bring. It could delay his rates. You know, he might have to, and that the market got a bit scared of. And then the one was from Moderna, and you know, who said that this virus might escape the vaccines. I'm trying to think of another word. The escape is actually what Pfizer used, and Pfizer were much more positive about it. Yeah. And I think by and large, they're on top of these viruses. It'll take all these variants. It's going to take time for the vaccines to come out. But I mean, markets are jittery, and to be fair, they're entitled to be a little nervous until we know more about it. The one thing I must add, anecdotally, and I'll repeat this, and I think I said this yesterday, anecdotally, there's no news here in South Africa of an increase in deaths or a push on hospitalizations, you know, people catching this virus and really battling, particularly those who have received vaccines and that. And quite a few people in our society, I'm talking the Joburg Society around and the people that I know, have actually caught the virus by going to parties and so on. They might have picked it up. But no one is suffering. You know, you're not finding hospitalizations. They're battling a little like they would a flu. But you're not hearing of severe cases. So anecdotally, it doesn't seem to have the potency that we've seen in the past. And I think maybe that's giving people a slightly bit of confidence. But I think overall, you know, there is reason just to be cautious.
But David, do you think now, as many people have said right from the beginning, they say that this is just another flu. Should we be treating it as just another flu, or is it more dangerous and sinister than that? In other words, I've got the flu, I go to a pub, I give someone else the flu or a heavy cold or something. Should we be treating, whether it be Omicron or whatever it's called, or Delta, or just the normal coronavirus, which originated a couple of years ago, should we just be saying, just get on with it now?
No.
You don't think so? Okay, good.
Definitely not. I think that it can be extremely dangerous. What we do know is that we have to be vaccinated. You know, vaccinations, especially when you get the third one, will reduce the effect of it, the potency, and will probably reduce it to nothing more than flu or a bad flu. You know, you still got to be very careful. But I don't think you should just go along, hopping along to, you know, if you do have signs of it, why should you go to a pub and spread it? It is, you know, it's still dangerous. But I think that as we get on, I think it's going to become less and less dangerous. And hopefully down the line it will be, just, and it'll be tamed and it will become another commonplace flu. But I think that's a few years away. So I'm very nervous. I'm very cautious about where we go. Still wear masks and still take, you know, not going out and just going to parties and various dinners. People invite us for dinner. I'm still very, very cautious. Say no, unless it's outside and it's open and so on.
Yes, in fact, I've turned down an invitation, one of the very few invitations that I get. I had one for Saturday night. I've turned it down. I said, no, I'd love to see you, and you've always cooked very good food, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it. And on that note, David, at 2 o'clock South African time this afternoon, Aspen Pharmacare came out with an announcement, and it says it confirms its non-binding term sheet on manufacture and sale of an Aspen-branded COVID-19 vaccine throughout Africa. Share price up 6%.
It
really has done well since COVID came, and I know it's a horrible thing to say. It's like some hospital company doing well because there are more people that are sick and their beds or their wards are fuller than they should be. But Aspen looking very good today.
It is, and a credit to them. It's back. You know, it had a little. They ran this up a very a little too much. They ran the shares up to 280 Rand. It came back to 220. But I think it's reestablishing the uptrend and its recovery. Where I credit them is that we've got to get Africa vaccinated. I mean, the average vaccination rates, I think, in the rest of Africa outside of South Africa, and I'm guessing at these numbers, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, is certainly below 10%.
Yeah, single digit, in other words, throughout
single
Africa.
Single digit. And what this Omicron has showed us, that until everybody is vaccinated, until the whole world is vaccinated, taking precautions, it's always going to be a danger. And, you know, it's going to be danger for us in Africa, in South Africa. You know, they're going to treat us like they would lepers. They're going to close the doors every time this happens. And simply because of we can transmit it. We've got to start now taking action and making sure that people are vaccinated and go out into the rural areas, like people who provide food or who distribute social grants and that. Go out and make sure when you give the social grant that you give them a vaccination or something as well. You know, we've got to do it, Lindsay. You know, and I'm not a it's just when you hear about Bill Gates's foundation where they're trying to eradicate malaria and they're doing everything they can, you've got to adopt that kind of approach. You know, yes. It's really got to be a proactive approach. And here in South Africa as well, there are far too many people that are so casual about it and just dismissing it and say, oh no. But wait until you catch it. And you're not vaccinated, and you're not,
and you're in a bed on a ventilator, and you can't breathe, etc. If you're a certain age, and I've been thinking about it and listening to it, and Cyril Ramaphosa's comments about Afrophobia, I think we're bordering on racism, because if it had originated in Britain or Spain or France or the Netherlands or Germany, they would have other countries would have done the same thing. Why does he have to bring that Afrophobia element into it? I don't like it at all. I think it's stupid.
No, I think we're protecting our own inadequacies, or defending our own inadequacies, because we haven't done the right thing. You know, we haven't pushed it out as far as we should. We haven't been aggressive. We've been far more involved in fighting political battles as who's going to be the mayor of this municipality and so on. And I think that's taken our minds off it. And instead of fighting the vaccine, you know, I always run past Discovery on a weekend to see how many people are going for vaccinations or something. And there's never a crowd. Well, I always look, I keep an open mind to this and look around and see whether people are taking this serious, where there are lines, you know, forming and that. Not at all. You know, and if you want a vaccine, you'll get it. Listen, the third one's becoming, you know, they haven't released that yet and they won't let you come. But sooner or later, that will happen. But we've got to step this up, and this has been a cheap lesson, you know, it's a lesson. It hasn't caused much damage yet, but I think we must, you know, we've got to, and businesses must get involved as well, and that's raising a lot of arguments and a lot of anger about, you know, forcing people to have vaccines. I don't want to go to if I go back to Sasfin, if I go back to the building, I want to know that they have got a policy where they will not allow people in without vaccinations unless there's absolute valid reason why.
And big companies should have a vaccination centre in their lobby, in their they really should. If it's a really, really
big
company.
We can afford a nurse. We can afford a nurse. Mm. You know, we could employ a nurse. I'm sure there are plenty around that have got it. You know, there's a lot of documentation. Sure. In fact, you spend more time filling out the documentation than you do jabbing people. You know, we've got to circumvent that or make sure that it's done before and get people going. I think you know, what you've tapped on now is a very good policy.
Mm. Okay, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service today. Very quickly on Nampak, trading statement for the year ended 30th of September. If you're a long-term investor in Nampak, you don't want to look at your quarterly screen, because they come out with results and the market hates it. They come out with a trading statement, the market loves it. Share price up 5.7% on my delayed screen at the moment. Just a quick comment on Nampak, please.
Well, they're coming right. You know, listen, they've had a torrid time and things are starting to look in the right direction. You know, certainly outside of South Africa as well. It hasn't been an easy business, and I can't understand why, you know, because it's always been a well-run business. But maybe the expansions into Angola and Nigeria, you know, have caused a lot of issues, but starting to come right. I took a punt. When I say I took a punt on it, a hypothetical punt on it, simply because it was absolutely trash. But I think they've got to build history, and they've got to build people's faith. What's a credibility?
Yes.
They haven't done that, you know, before you really want to buy it and believe that it's a company in, you know, that's reversing its negative trend.
Okay, so Nampak up 5.7%, and that will obviously change after the auction and my screen updates itself. Mm. Another one, we had Standard Bank yesterday with an update which was received very enthusiastically by market participants. Today, First Rand, also a giant in financial services, not such a glamorous share price movement, but that's because the market's under a wee bit of pressure as well. But I've got up 1.4%. First Rand, Standard Bank, if you had to have a bank, which one would it be, given what you've...
Both of those. I've always liked First Rand. I can't really tell the difference unless I'm a real bank analyst, you know, who kind of tears these businesses apart. I think sometimes their external strategy could be the differentiating factor. You know, I stand by my views on these banks. Mm. They're very well run. They've got wonderful, you know, they're extremely conservative and cautious, as you say, but we haven't got an economy. You saw our unemployment rate today going up. Lindsay, you know,
where is it now, David? Just tell us where it is now.
I don't know what the exact number is, but you know, we're in the 30s, I think even higher, 37% or something like that. I mean, it really means if 10 people pass you in the street, at least three, maybe four of them are unemployed.
Yeah.
You know, and that gives you an idea. So someone's got to look after those four people, and it's got to be the other six. You know, do you know what I mean? It's got to be those six that are employed, and therefore it puts a strain on their resources. It puts a strain on the country's resources. You've got to feed them. You've got to educate them. You've got to hospitalise them and their children and families.
And incentivise them, particularly the young people, incentivise them to get out there and not sit on the street corner and look for scraps here and there. You've got to give them some sort of incentive to actually get up in the morning, because it's a terrible thing. Just let me talk about that now. South Africa's unemployment rate hit a new record high. This is official numbers. 34.9% in the third quarter, up from 34.4% in the second quarter. Yeah. The number of unemployed people, 7.643 million people in the 3 months to the end of September. That's an awful lot of people.
Well, actively employed would be 15 million. So it means those 15 million have to, you know, literally look after the other seven.
Mm.
You know, if you think about it. And that's why I'm very cautious. Until we get on top of that, until we grow, we've got to put money back into the economy. Mm. And banks will only grow when money goes back into the economy and you want finance for your factories or your machinery or your expansion or you're putting down a new shaft. That's what banks' role is, taking from people who are saving and giving to those who need. That's not happening. And that's why I'm saying, okay, you know, very good results. Analysts, we can wax lyrical about how good they are. And they are good banks. But there's no excitement there.
How do you react to this Reuters sentence in the brief news release that they put out earlier on today when that number came out? And I wanted you to be honest about this. It says here, the South African economy has long suffered from high levels of joblessness, contributing to poverty and inequality that persists nearly three decades after the end of white minority rule. What do you say about that? They bring in the race card again. They bring in the race card again, which I don't know if it's appropriate, but it's brutally honest.
No, it is, but it's, you know, it's...
inappropriate?
It is a manifestation. I don't think it's inappropriate. It's just a manifestation of what's happened in this country, you know, under a rule that we expected to deliver more. And we know what's happened there, you know, and we're still not putting the right policies in place to reverse it. You know, Lindsay, you know, and I keep saying it, I remember rejoicing and celebrating in 1994 because of a family background here. Yeah. And we had such high hopes for where we were going. And, you know, we were thankful that we hadn't emigrated and that we were in South Africa. You know, our brothers and our sisters and our aunties and our children had all gone. We thought there's such a bright future ahead. And we battled. You know, we've really battled. And that's exactly 3 decades. So I'm saying, from my point of view, you know, I saw 3 decades ago as I saw the new government as a beacon of hope. But I've been terribly disappointed by their performance and still by the performance. And I'm openly critical about it now. We're not doing the right things, you know, to reverse it. We're still dragged down by promises we made 3 decades ago that haven't worked. And we're still dragged down by the inefficiencies and incompetence of this government.
Okay, let's move on from that and have a look at the spot prices, because I know you've got off to a television assignment. dollar rand is doing very well, actually.
Yes.
It's rallied 40 points. Let me just give you the prices, and then you can choose. $15.89 dollar rand. British pound against the rand, $21.23. Euro rand, $18.07. Euro dollar, $113.69. So the dollar has weakened by 0.2%. The gold price, because of that, has rallied above 1800, 1807. It's flirting with the 1800 every single day, up, down. You know, it's like a new relationship. They don't know whether they love each other or hate each other. But anyway, 1807, the gold price. Platinum, down 23 to 955. Yeah. Palladium, down just $3 an ounce to 1781. The oil price is very, very interesting. I don't know what. I mean, obviously, it's a very difficult commodity to analyze simply because of the. Let's say the colorful characters that run the oil industry. West Texas, $67.94 per barrel, down 2.9%. Brent crude oil, $71.09 per barrel, down 3.2%. Natural gas, this is great for Europe and great for consumers, particularly in the UK, down 6.4% again. It's all over the place. The bond yields, well, they've surprised me enormously, I have to say. Maybe they're just tracking the oil price. Mm. The US 10-year bond yield now 1.42%. The South African 10-year bond yield has also sort of it's done a bit better. It's 9 basis points down, the yield, that is, to 9.77%. And Bitcoin is up 2.9%. What do you make of all these numbers? Is there a safe haven thing going on here with the bonds?
No doubt. You're talking U.S. bonds.
Yeah,
it's going into bonds. I think it's a worrying sign. It's a cautious sign, and I think there's. I know Powell and Yellen are testifying in the Senate at the moment as we actually talk at the moment. They started at 5 o'clock our time. It's now 5:20. So I don't know what they're saying, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty. And that's why in that kind of climate, I think people will go for bonds. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of gone into gold and that, but I still think it just shows you the power of the US Treasuries.
Okay, David, you've got to go in 3 minutes' time. So let me give you the top five.
I just wanted to mention on the dollar, though. You know, just on that, I think the Rand, having been punished on Friday, is just clawing back some of that ground. I think the sympathy has turned to South Africa. You know, and also I think the severity of this, the virus or variant is being reassessed. But Lindsay, it's a difficult market to trade in at the moment. It's all over the place.
It really is. And just you'll probably laugh at this one before we conclude this. Oil prices projected to hit $125 a barrel in 2022. And in a new report from JP Morgan, analysts from there are predicting that 125 level next year and 150 in 2023. I disagree wholeheartedly, but anyway.
History is not on their side, because there's one thing that most of the analysts have got wrong, and that's calling oil price. They've never got it right. You know, so
do you remember the Goldman Sachs 140?
Yes, remember? Yeah,
I do remember that very
That's
well.
That's what I'm saying. So I take that with a pinch of salt. I don't know. It's just the one thing that I have learned in my years here is that you've just got to ignore these forecasts. I don't know. I wish I could find a quote. There's some wonderful quotes about forecasts.
Okay.
Well, I want to find a Yogi Berra one. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that as things quieten down in December. We'll do that with Wayne.
With Nick.
Yeah, with Wayne and Nick. Yeah. We'll all get together and we'll all talk rubbish. Okay, just on the upside, Goldfields up nearly 9%. Anglo Gold Ashanti 7% higher. Harmony up 7%. People buying gold shares despite the strong rand. Aspen up 6.25%. Implats up 5.8% on the downside. The only one I really want to look at is AB InBev, down 4.1%. But apart from that, just give us the indices before you dash off to television, David.
The old share, strangely enough, ended up 0.67% up. So the all share is at 7.0475. The top 40, much better also, 0.75% up at 6.4064. And the big gains were in those mining shares, in platinum and gold shares. So the mining sector very strong. And banks, as you mentioned, made a recovery. The bank index up quite strongly. The rest of the market a bit under pressure. Also, I see property made some kind of a comeback as well, up 0.6%. That's the all property index. So overall, more gainers than losers. I'll just quickly give you the volumes.
Yes, please.
You know, the value trader today, which was, something happened today. 48 million.
I think you may have got
I don't know
wrong.
Where this came from. I know. It says 48.6 with 2.8. Is there rebalancing today?
There must have been an MSCI thing or something, yeah.
It must be rebalancing because I don't know, and I'm not in touch. This is where we miss Nick, you see. He knows all of these things.
He said his child's prize giving. But anyway, he'll be back with us on Thursday. David, off you go. Put your makeup on. Off you go to television. David Shapiro is from Sasson Securities. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.